So, what happens when you ring a Hollywood A-lister's phone line? Does he answer it? Does he heck? He has a housekeeper. And he's got really bad hold music.
Good morning, may I help you?
Good morning. My name's Adam. I'm calling from Q103 in England, the radio station. I am due to speak to Mr. Stallone regarding his visit to the UK. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry about that, sir. And what's your name again, sir?
Sorry, my name's Adam.
Adam? From where now?
Key 103 in Manchester, England.
Key 103. New England? Okay. One moment, please. Go ahead, gentlemen.
Hello?
So, how'd you start a conversation with Rocky Balboa? Suppose you ask him how he's doing. How are you today?
Very good, Adam, thanks.
How's the back? I know that you've been in hospital recently. Are you holding up good?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's third time, but that third time's a charm.
That's his health sorted. Now on to the new film, Expendables 3. He's out in the UK August 14th. He's coming to promote it, and he wanted to talk about it. Listen, you've got a trip to the UK very, very shortly for a couple of things. First of all, Expendables 3, out in the UK on August 14th. I've seen the trailer. This looks bigger. It looks more amazing than ever. There's a lot of explosions.
There's a lot of explosions and a lot of good confrontation between high-end actors. There's so many actors. I've never seen so many one-off stars get together. It's kind of like the World Cup of acting, you know, in action acting, I should say, where, you know, once every generation, they all get together and do an event. And it wasn't easy to put together, but the results were incredible with Harrison and Banderas and Mel Gibson and Wesley Snipes. It was really amazing.
Did you know something? They just roll off the tongue there, don't they? Look at that for a bill of people being on the same film. Banderas, Statham, Lee, Snipes, Lundgren, Gibson, Ford, Schwarzenegger, and obviously yourself.
Schwarzenegger, yeah, just keeps going and going. It's amazing. Really, and Kelsey Grammer, they said, well, what is Kelsey Grammer doing there? And he just kills it. He's fantastic. He's a broker for, you know, for mercenaries. He's like, you know, every actor has an agent. Well, so mercenaries have agents too, or so we invent. And he's fantastic in it.
I was going to say, because with all due respect to Kelsey Grammer, if he was going to stand next to you guys in the gym mirror, he's going to look a little bit, let's just say, substandard compared to the muscle that is on show.
He provides the intellectual balance.
The best thing about his UK trip is that he's coming to Manchester to talk about his own personal life. Cannot wait for this. It's happening on the 1st of August. You can get tickets at key103.co.uk/Stallone. It's happening at the Phones for You Arena. To give you a taste of what it's going to be like, listen to this. You're coming to do something quite unique in our city of Manchester. You're going to be speaking.
Wait, yes.
This is amazing. I'm really, really excited about this. Obviously, doing your life story and what have you. And there are some there are some serious stories that you've got to tell.
Right. Well, you know, I really relate to blue collar. I like working people because that's where I came from. And I think sometimes when you stay away too far, you lose the roots. You lose the touch of where you've come from. So when I get to go to different cities, different parts of the world, and then I can start to tell my story, I hope that it provides some sort of insight or incentive that sparks interest in people and that they can relate to and show that nothing is impossible because I was the longest shot in the world. And then you provide some interesting anecdotes about what happened on movies and situations and how things got done and the craziness of life in general. And it turns out to be a pretty interesting evening. I enjoy it very much.
Can I ask you to share one anecdote with me right now? And I'm going to point you in the direction of the early 70s when you were writing Rocky and attempting to get it all commissioned. I want to talk about the dog.
Okay. Well, I was walking by this fellow on the street years earlier, had this dog. He goes, you know, I don't want this dog. This dog poops too much. And I had no money. I was basically almost homeless. I was making about $40 a week through an usher gig. And I took the dog, so I became very, very close to the dog. So as I was writing, and I was beginning to write Rocky and everything else, my only friend was the dog. I didn't even have a telephone. I never went on a date to a bar, to a dance. Believe it or not, I was so isolated, I couldn't afford it.
Wow.
But the dog was my buddy. So eventually I made it to California. And this is just before I had written Rocky. We were starving, and I just got married. And it got down to the point there was nothing left in the bank, and I was about to be evicted from this house out in the valley. It was so hot. My wife used to get a nosebleed just cooking in the kitchen because the kitchen was the size of a closet. Anyway, it was a rough one. So I said, honey, we can't afford dog food. We can't even afford to feed the dog. So I went to a 7-Eleven, which is a kind of a quick store where you just pull right in, and put up a for sale sign. And this guy came along and said, I'll give you $40 for your dog. And it killed me. But I had no choice. I couldn't support it. Well, see what happened. I went back, and about 6 months later, I started writing Rocky. And then I wrote a part in there for the dog. I don't know why. Even though I didn't own the dog, I just felt so lonely for the dog. So I go to track the guy down, and he doesn't want to sell the dog. He goes, well, my kids have become attached to it. I said, your kids are grown. They let me live in the house. He goes, well, I've become attached to it. I said, I understand. And he was kind of a very small guy. Actually, he could ride the dog. He was small. So he became attached to the dog. So he goes, I want to be in the movie. I said, really? He goes, yeah, I want to be in the movie. So I literally had to write him a part of the movie and give him $14,000.
No way!
Yeah,
you bought the dog back for $14,000.
$14,000. Yeah.
Wow! And you gave him a part in the film that got a Best Picture at the Oscars that year.
Yeah, don't tell me Love Is Blind, don't we?
Before we wrapped up the conversation, I couldn't resist asking him this.
I know that you work out a lot. Do you ever work out to this?
I don't blatantly carry it around on my iPad, but every now and then in the gym, it'll come on. Someone will be on a radio station, then I'll hear "Eye of the Tiger."
Yes,
or not, I get going.
It gets you pumped, man. It gets you pumped.
Yeah, I don't know.
Up.
I said, "Is that my egotistical?" And then I go, "No, this is just good, inspiring music." Bill Conti really nailed it.
You don't even go to a proper gym, do you? You go out into the forest, into the woods. You run in the snow. You lift the logs.
It's like a Game of Thrones workout.